Ender turned his back and went on into the battle room. Soon his army arrived, and no one else. Either Anderson waited around to intercept anyone coming to Ender's practice group, or word had already passed through the whole school that Ender's informal evenings were through. It was a good practice. They accomplished a lot. But at the end of it, Ender was tired and lonely. There was a half hour before bedtime. He couldn't go into his army's barracks. He had long since learned that the best commanders stay away unless they have some reason to visit. The boys have to have a chance to be at peace, at rest, without someone listening, to favor or despise them depending on the way they talk and act and think. So he wandered to the game room, where a few other boys were using the last half hour before final bell to settle bets or beat their previous scores on the games. None of the games looked interesting, but he played one anyway, an easy animated game designed for launchies. Bored, he ignored the objectives of the game and used the little player figure, a bear, to explore the animated scenery around him. "You'll never win that way," Ender smiled. "Missed you at practice, Eli." "I was there. But they had your army in a separate place. Looks like you're big time now. Can't play with the little boys anymore." "You're a full cubit taller than I am." "Cubit! Has God been telling you to build a boat or something, or are you in an archaic mood?" "Not archaic, just arcane. Secret, subtle, roundabout, I miss you already, you circumcised dog." "Don't you know? We're enemies now. Next time I meet you in battle, I'll whip your ass." It was banter, as always, but now there was too much truth behind it. Now, when Ender heard Eli talk as if it were all a joke, he felt the pain of losing his friend, and the worse pain of wondering if Eli really felt as little pain as he showed. "You can try," said Ender. "I taught you everything you know, but I didn't teach you everything I know." "I knew all along that you were holding something back, Ender." A pause. Ender's bear was in trouble on the screen. He climbed a tree. "I wasn't, Eli, holding anything back." "I know," said Eli. "Neither was I. Salam, Eli." "Alas, it is not to be." "What isn't?" "Peace. It's what salam means. Peace be unto you." The words brought forth an echo from Ender's memory. His mother's voice reading to him softly when he was very young. "Think not that I am come to bring peace on earth. I came not to bring peace but a sword." Ender had pictured his mother piercing Peter the Terrible with a bloody rapier, and the words had stayed in his mind along with the image. In the silence, the bear died. It was a cute death with funny music. Ender turned around. Eli was already gone. Ender felt as if part of himself had been taken away, an inward prop that was holding up his courage and confidence. With Eli, to a degree impossible even with Shen, Ender had come to feel a unity so strong that the word "we" came to his lips much more easily than "I." But Eli had left something behind. Ender lay in bed, dozing into the night, and felt Eli's lips on his cheek as he muttered the word "peace." The kiss, the word, the peace were with him still. "I am only what I remember, and Eli is my friend in a memory so intense that they can't tear him out. Like Valentine, the strongest memory of all." The next day he passed Eli in the corridor and they greeted each other, touched hands, talked, but they both knew that there was a wall now. It might be breached, that wall, sometime in the future, but for now the only real conversation between them was the roots that had already grown low and deep under the wall where they could not be broken. The most terrible thing, though, was the fear that the wall could never be breached, that in his heart Eli was glad of the separation and was ready to be Ender's enemy. For now that they could not be together, they must be infinitely apart, and what had been sure and unshakable was now fragile and insubstantial. "From the moment we are not together, Eli is a stranger, for he has a life now that will be no part of mine, and that means that when I see him we will not know each other." It made him sorrowful, but Ender did not weep. He was done with that. When they had turned Valentine into a stranger, when they had used her as a tool to work on Ender, from that day forward, they could never hurt him deep enough to make him cry again. Ender was certain of that. And with that anger, he decided he was strong enough to defeat them, the teachers, his enemies.
You can't be serious about this schedule of battles.
Yes, I can.
He's only had his army 3.5 weeks.
I told you, we did computer simulations on probable results, and here's what the computer estimated Ender would do.
We want to teach him, not give him a nervous breakdown.
The computer knows him better than we do.
The computer is also not famous for having mercy.
If you wanted to be merciful, you should have gone to a monastery.
You mean this isn't a monastery?
This is best for Ender, too. We're bringing him to his full potential.
I thought we'd give him 2 years as commander. We usually give them a battle every 2 weeks, starting after 3 months. This is a little extreme.
Do we have 2 years to spare?
I know. I just have this picture of Ender a year from now. Completely useless, worn out, because he was pushed farther than he or any living person could go.
We told the computer that our highest priority was having the subject remain useful after the training program.
Well, as long as he's useful.
Look, Colonel Graf, you're the one who made me prepare this, over my protests, if you'll remember.
I know, you're right. I shouldn't burden you with my conscience. But my eagerness to sacrifice little children in order to save mankind is wearing thin. The Polemarch has been to see the Hegemon. It seems Russian intelligence is concerned that some of the active citizens on the Nets are already figuring how America ought to use the IF to destroy the Warsaw Pact as soon as the buggers are destroyed.
It seems premature.
It seems insane. Free speech is one thing, but to jeopardize the League over nationalistic rivalries? And it's for people like that, short-sighted, suicidal people, that we're pushing Ender to the edge of human endurance.
I think you underestimate Ender.
But I fear that I also underestimate the stupidity of the rest of mankind. Are we absolutely sure that we ought to win this war?
Sir, those words sound like treason.
It was black humor.
It wasn't funny. When it comes to the buggers, nothing...
Nothing is funny, I know.
Ender Wiggin lay on his bed staring at the ceiling. Since becoming commander, he never slept more than 5 hours a night. But the lights went off at 2200 and didn't come on again until 0600. Sometimes he worked at his desk anyway, straining his eyes to use the dim display. Usually, though, he stared at the invisible ceiling and thought. Either the teachers had been kind to him after all, or he was a better commander than he thought. His ragged little troop of veterans, utterly without honor in their previous armies, were blossoming into capable leaders. So much so that instead of the usual 4 tunes, he had created 5, each with a tune leader and a second. Every veteran had a position. He had the army drill in 8-man tune maneuvers and 4-man half-tunes, so that at a single command his army could be assigned as many as 10 separate maneuvers and carry them out at once. No army had ever fragmented itself like that before, but Ender was not planning to do anything that had been done before either. Most armies practiced mass maneuvers, performed strategies. Ender had none. Instead, he trained his tune leaders to use their small units effectively in achieving limited goals. Unsupported, alone on their own initiative. He staged mock wars after the first week, savage affairs in the practice room that left everybody exhausted. But he knew, with less than a month of training, that his army had the potential of being the best fighting group ever to play the game. How much of this did the teachers plan? Did they know they were giving him obscure but excellent boys? Did they give him 30 launchies, many of them underage, because they knew the little boys were quick learners, quick thinkers? Or was this what any similar group could become under a commander who knew what he wanted his army to do and knew how to teach them to do it? The question bothered him because he wasn't sure whether he was confounding or fulfilling their expectations. All he was sure of was that he was eager for battle. Most armies needed 3 months because they had to memorize dozens of elaboration formations. We're ready now. Get us into battle. The door opened in darkness. Ender listened. A shuffling step. The door closed. He rolled off his bunk and crawled in the darkness the 2 meters to the door. There was a slip of paper there. He couldn't read it, of course, but he knew what it was. Battle. How kind of them. I wish, and they deliver.